I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is called The Teacup Poisoner, Serial Killer Graham Frederick Young. What do you think about that, Brandy?
Hold on, you tell me we got a man poisoner?
I know, isn't that weird?
That's some candy-ass shit right there.
It's weird.
This is an adult podcast. If you can't handle that, turn off the damn radio or whatever it is you're listening to on here. Turn it, get your remote,
turn your boombox down.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
Thank you, Colonel.
Okay, there's our disclaimer.
All right, we are an adult podcast. We use adult language, so if that offends you.
Fuck yourself.
Please check out one of the other fine podcasts out there, such as Comeback, Colonel, is the new podcast by our friend Nicholas.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, it's a cool podcast, so we encourage everyone to check out Comeback. Available now on iTunes.
Before we start, and we're going to say also, they walk among us, our good friends Ben, because I have to say something for the record.
Okay.
There were actually physical threats made to the colonel. It turns out that lovely Rosanna
Fitton from They Walk Among Us.
The ginger.
I think you're making it
spit
worse.
Out whatever it does, is.
Your hand doesn't catch on fire if you touch a red head.
Oh, he made a comment last time that her hair was on fire.
You know what? You know what I want to know?
Yes.
What the fuck happens when I'm not here? What the fuck goes on? You understand that I'm going to have to go on vacation and leave instructions for one of my staff because you and the other boss around here, men can't be in charge of shit because the three of you will fucking burn this place to the ground, roast marshmallows, and wonder what the fuck happened.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
You're clipping a little bit there.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we were going to talk about your... What lack of appearances on the show.
It seems
she's like
it,
fucking Johnny Carson in the latter years.
You become a guest star. I mean,
you show up like once every 3 weeks.
Because I'm actually working. I am working.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that, Colonel?
Yeah, okay, Job.
I'm actually working. I'm actually doing my job.
Job.
Who do you think keeps this fucking place running? It's not the two of you dipshits.
So you're going on vacation, Brandy, I hear.
In a couple of months,
well, let me
yes.
introduce you, and then we'll find out all
yeah,
your insignificant...
Yeah, just Brandy time yeah. over with.
Oh, my God.
Let me introduce our... Well, first of all, I want to thank the lovely Leanne for suggesting this topic. This guy was a serial killer who poisoned more than 70 people, Colonel. You got to be impressed by the numbers.
Yeah, that's some badass stuff right there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it, but...
It's kind of a puss way to go, though. For a man.
Well, but he was, you know, he was a chemist, so he was kind of cool.
He was like Heisenberg.
He was nerdy. Yeah,
he's nerdy. Breaking Bad. So he went all Breaking Bad.
Yes, he did.
All right.
He did, before Breaking Bad was cool. All right, let me introduce the lady who needs no introduction. Well, she kind of does, because people forget you're on this fucking show.
Oh, yeah, we have a guest host today.
No.
Someone who often does not even come here. The devil. The benevolent devil.
The benevolent devil.
We introduce the first lady of podcasting, the very lovely, the lady who's known as the Brandy the Benevolent, K.
Can't even remember your introduction.
I see that. So long.
Jeez. Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well.
You've missed me.
We have because we're kind of carrying this podcast.
Zip it.
My balls hurt.
What's that?
Just having her in the general area makes my scrotal region hurt.
I don't know what that means, but...
Because she's liable to tear them off and lop them off. She likes doing that to me. Yeah.
She's a man-eater.
You're demasculating.
Whoa, here I come.
You demasculate people.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Anyway.
She's a demasculator.
She hates men. She demasculates people all the time.
Don't hate men.
Well, Brandy, first of all, it's almost Young Noah's birthday.
It is.
And I understand he's having a party.
We are. We're having a soiree.
And the Colonel and I have been personally invited.
You have. He was very, very specific about that. It was really strange.
When is the party?
It is May the 13th.
I'm there.
It is May the
13th. Can I bring a date?
Of course you can bring a date. Right. Only if it's Renee.
No.
And, yeah.
Renee Timmy, can't be there.
You know, Timmy's not going to be there.
Well, no, yeah.
So, where are you going to be?
Really?
I don't do parties, dude.
Really? Wait a minute. It is outside the city. What bus is going to run up there?
No, I don't leave my apartment.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But explain that. But I invited him. Oh, sure. I'll let him know that you're a fucking freak show and you don't leave the apartment.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that.
So Noah had some very specific people he wanted to invite.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Colonel and I were one of them. We're two of them.
Yes, you were two. Yes, you were two of them.
But he doesn't want girls.
No girls. He doesn't want girls.
See, the guy, he's smart.
I'm trying to tell him, you know, the more people there, the more presents.
Yeah, but girls don't always pick out good presents.
Well.
No, they pick out sucky stuff. You know what? There ain't nothing worse than getting a kid a book for his birthday. Ain't no goddamn kid want a book for his birthday.
Okay, I wasn't going to get him a book for his birthday.
I know, but people always bring you these, like, learnings. No, don't bring something to fire some projectiles. That's what kids want.
Yeah.
Projectiles are important.
He's going to have, we've got these, the sumo suits. He's got one.
I mean a real crossbow.
Well, no, we don't need that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Get that for me for my birthday.
Can I get him a mini bike?
Yes.
Okay.
But he's
a
got.
A BB gun?
No. But you got, like, those sumo suits. We kind of We got a couple of those so they can run around. We got big, huge boxing gloves that they can do. We got,
nice.
You know,
like those.
Nerf wars and bubble gloves, and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it should be a good time. There'll be booze.
It may turn into a sumo battle royale between the Colonel and the Devil.
You can, your hips could not fit in the suit.
Oh, wow.
It's for little kids.
His hips don't lie.
Well, they do lie. They say they're a size 30, but they're not.
Well, this sounds
like
quite
the part. I'll take my pants off and show you the tag.
I don't think that's a great idea.
Well, I will have to send him a gift, but of course I don't attend.
Of course you don't.
Yeah. I don't attend parties, but I will send a gift.
Of course.
And it will be something age appropriate, I'm sure.
Yeah. Get him a Target gift card. He'll wet himself. He'll be so excited.
Okay, Brandy, time's over.
I'll send him some.
Oh, no, wait. I haven't even told you this story.
This is a good story.
So last night, out of fucking nowhere, Noah wants to talk about how he was born.
Are you going to beat that goddamn microphone
that
to
was
death,
him.
Or what are you going to do?
That was him.
My apologies to our listening audience.
So he wants to talk about how he was born, and he was born by a C-section. And
So was Julius Caesar, by the way.
That's amazing. That's a great little history tidbit there.
Well, so he got the name.
So he was...
It is. It's where the name comes. Look it up, goddammit.
So...
I think you make shit up sometimes, knowing we're too lazy to check on it.
We are too lazy.
Well, that's a pretty safe bet.
But he...
But someone in the audience will check it.
God, I hope so.
These people.
But he wanted to, you know, he's asking me all about C-section and all this, that, and the other. And he's known for a while that he was born by C-section. But he said, well, did you videotape it? I said, no, fuck no, I didn't videotape it.
That would have been cool.
Why would I do that?
If you do that again, will you?
Sure, if I have another baby, I'll videotape it.
Because we can post that on the Facebook page.
Well, so...
That'd be a Patreon special.
Yeah. So you better charge well for it. But kind of, you know, we go along this conversation. I said, Noah, do you want to see one? Like, because he's asking me all these questions. I'm like, do you want to see one? Thinking he's going to be like, ew, no, gross. What? Yeah, I want to see one. Okay. So I pop one up on YouTube, and he's just fascinated. He's just watching it. And, you know, of course, doctors, when they pull these babies out, they're kind of not rough with them. But, you know, mm-hmm. they kind of just fling them here and there. And, you know, their babies are fine. Well, Noah's completely upset. Why is he doing that to that baby? You have to be gentle with the baby. They will break. Well, what is he doing? Why is that doctor doing that?
I think.
And then they go to cut the power cord. The power cord. I'm like, dude. No. What is that?
That's a biblical cord. Did you teach him?
No, I just.
It is kind of like a power cord, though.
It is, but that's not it. I'm like.
It always reminds me of an astronaut floating off in space.
Yeah.
And you reel him back in by the biblical cord.
Yeah. But I, you know, had to explain to him that his belly button, you know, what the purpose was, and that his belly button's the scar from it, and fucking blew his mind. After that, he went to goddamn sleep because I don't know why. He is all about, and he wants to watch another one tonight.
So this is going to be like a series.
A nine times, yeah, this will be our ninth. But let me say.
You should show him a hysterectomy next.
Well, let me say.
Right, Colonel?
I could come over to the house and tell him about it.
No.
I got mine on video.
A hysterectomy?
Yeah, I got mine on video.
Did you?
I did.
You know what? I really loved that time he drew. Remember you drew the female anatomy and posted a picture of it? That was brilliant.
I really love the time he confused vasectomy and hysterectomy. That's good stuff right there.
I'm sorry, Brandy. Continue with
No, it's just evidently this is going to be like crazy Nature Channel every night before we go to bed. We're going to watch birth and babies.
I might come over because I could maybe learn a few things.
I can learn a few things about birth and babies because I didn't look.
You know what? But here's the thing. He's good at math, and this stuff doesn't bother him. So you know what? What do I have?
A veterinarian.
Or a regular doctor.
Oh, yeah. But
I don't know what a veterinarian has to do with it. But
he could be a gynecologist.
Why you want to limit him?
I'm not limiting him at all. He wanted to see the video. I showed him the video.
Aren't they veterinarian gynecologists?
I don't think so.
Is that too specific, Colonel? A gyno for a vet?
No, it's not. Okay. It's a niche market.
It's a niche market.
Is there a proctologist for, like, vets?
Yeah, I believe there probably is. You know, to me, this makes me wonder, you know, I was talking about the astronauts, and you're talking about why has he got to be a vet, and it just made me pop up. What do you call a devil? A woman on the moon?
What?
What do you call it? An astronaut, you sexist bitch. Why don't you know that?
Oh, I see what you did
there. You got it.
Okay, first of all, that was a fucked up little whatever it was.
I'm just placating, dude. Okay.
That was a good one.
Fuck.
That was a good one, Colonel.
See, why can't women be astronauts?
I don't
care. Woman on the moon, you all say, you just assume, well, can't be an astronaut. See? Me and Timmy, we're the feminists here.
We're pro-women.
We're pro-women. Yeah.
We get a lot of complaints about you, though.
You think women should stay in the home? We think you should stay in the home, but, I mean, you think a woman's place is in the home?
Why do you think that?
We're pro-feminist.
She's looking at you. She's going to kill you.
You're a little misogynistic, devil.
When is
you mansplain to us.
When is your face going to stop moving? My God. You know what I haven't missed?
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Quiet time in my car. Going to and fro.
You haven't missed us. You haven't missed doing these. You know, you have a whole...
I have missed doing these. Legion of fans out there. And I love it. And I have missed doing these. And I cannot wait to see people at CrimeCon. Cannot wait.
Yeah, we're not going to that.
No, you are not, but I am.
Yeah. Can't believe you're doing that.
And I'm going to burn Nashville down till 9:30.
I'm going to New Orleans, but I'm not going to Nashville.
I'm going to New Orleans.
You're going to New Orleans?
Yeah, hell no, he's not going to New Orleans.
I'm not in Louisiana.
But you're going to be at DweebCon. DweebCon 2, the Wrath of Brandy in Cincinnati.
I'll probably make an appearance.
Oh, you got to be there, dude. You have people that love you.
Depends on what Rudy's got going on that weekend, whatnot.
You have to be there. People love him, don't they, Brandy?
I'll be there.
Let me introduce him, by the way. Haven't even done that yet. Let me introduce
Brandy
the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the moral compass of our podcast.
The what?
The moral compass of our podcast. A man who is known as an oasis in this troubled world of ours, an oasis in the desert of despair. The very Honorable Colonel Reverend Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters, affectionally known as the Southern Gentleman.
What the fuck can't you speak?
Hey.
Sexually known as the Southern Gentleman.
How are you, Colonel?
He also called you, Timmy. He also called you the molar compass.
I know. I'm trying to get through this, and I believe you might be having a stroke. So
what's that smell?
Is that burnt toast?
Did you ever see that episode of Sopranos where the guy is like, what's that smell? It's like his old dog. He just falls over. Did someone burn something and he just kills over?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
You saw that episode?
It is. The golf course?
Yeah, at the golf course, yeah.
Yeah, that's a
Jesus
funny scene.
God.
What is that smell? And then the other guy had a heart attack because he was constipated on the toilet.
That can happen, Brandy.
That can happen. That's why you get your fiber. Don't push too hard.
These are words to live by.
Yeah. I'm good, thank you.
So, Colonel, you were telling me about some of your woes.
Well, of course he has woes. Timmy, I'm not good, Timmy.
It's raining today.
It is?
I'm sad, Timmy.
I'm sad.
He gets depressed when the
weather. I like doing the shows when it's just me and you because ain't nobody yelling at us. Remember, you know,
but it's better when the three of us are together.
No, but guess what? What's happening when Timmy goes on vacation?
Oh. God.
Look, I'm on vacation in May. There is no way these two are going to get it together to post a new episode while I'm gone.
We may post one every day.
It won't happen. Damn you right. can't even do it when I'm here.
Oh, just...
You yeah,
just,
well, maybe you're the barrier.
We will be...
Keep your panties on.
I just want to tell everyone that we may not be posting any episodes the last 2 weeks of May because I will be out of the country.
It's going to be a very special History Dweebs time.
Very All right, Colonel. Special. Any other problems you want to?
Well, I'm not good, Timmy.
I'm just. You kind of sound like you.
I know.
All right, let's talk about this teacup poisoner, right?
Okay.
Graham Frederick Young.
That's a stupid name, Graham Frederick.
Dude, they weren't going to name this kid over in England.
Why don't you give him a minute?
I want Bob. That's what I'm shooting.
I know, but didn't she just have him yesterday? Then simmer down.
The guy's going to be driving before he's.
No, they haven't announced it yet. I'm sure he has a name. They're just not calling it.
Well, I don't know.
Boy.
You.
Yeah.
Number three.
Let's wrap this up.
Graham Frederick Young was an English serial killer who used poison brandy to kill his victims. He was sent to Broadmoor Hospital in 1962 after poisoning several members of his family. Killing his stepmother. After his release in 1971, so he was out of commission for a while, he went on to poison 70 more people.
I have concerns.
What are your concerns?
Oh, I have concerns that Lady Beverly's husband is named Graham.
That's it, yeah, true.
I don't think this is the same Graham.
I don't think so. There could be more than one Graham.
I don't know. England's pretty small.
Neston is an area in northwest London.
Oh,
Colonel.
See?
Once a small hamlet, Neston was described as the loneliest village in the world.
Population
never,
4.
Never saw my fucking bedroom, I guess, whoever called it that.
What the fuck?
When the railroad.
What happened?
I don't know. I think Timmy's having a meltdown over here.
When a railroad came through the area.
Timmy, can we back up for a minute?
Yes.
You smell something burning.
It's
your bedroom is alone. You got a cat, don't you?
Yeah. She's not allowed in my bedroom. Man.
You'll let every other pussy in your bedroom with the cat.
There's been so much pussy. And actually, there isn't.
She's probably the cleanest one.
Here's the funny thing about Timmy. Timmy will meet you. He will sleep with you. He will buy you dinner. But he will not tell you where he lives.
No.
If you met the caliber of women that he was going after, would you?
You know, Timmy has had.
Let's stop talking about Timmy.
Me because Timmy.
No,
has
it's
always,
Timmy time.
No,
let's talk about.
Let's do Timmy time for a minute.
Graham Frederick
because he's
Young.
Always surprised me. I mean, he has the occasional, inky.
Sure.
But for the most part, Timmy.
Inky was a one-time thing. We communicate.
But for the most part, you end up with these beautiful women, Timmy.
Well, Inky wasn't a slouch. She was just a bit of a whore because she left. She left her address because she wanted a gift.
She left a self-addressed stamped envelope. But,
yeah, see, that's stuff you have to negotiate before.
Yeah.
Well, that I understand, but yeah, I feel
you
like
can't,
it was,
you can't go.
I feel like it was
no,
rude.
You no, can't go. You know, there's no post negotiations.
I feel like it was rude that you didn't at least tip her.
No.
I mean, my
was,
God,
she was nice. She was nice.
Uh huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, but you won't let the cat.
Let's talk about Graham Frederick Young.
But you won't let the cat in your room.
No, cat's not allowed in my room. Sam's not allowed in my room. Hmm. When a railroad came through this little town of Nesden, it started to, you know, became industrial, right? And the population grew to more than 13,000, Brandy.
All righty.
It's the hometown of the famed British actress and model Twiggy.
Oh, Twiggy.
Remember her?
Yeah. She was very thin.
She wore a paper dress back in the day.
Mm-hmm. She's very thin.
Have you ever worn a paper dress, Colonel, or a paper suit of any sort?
Is it Saturday? Just when I get out of the shower.
You wear a paper dress when you get out of the shower.
Well, when he goes into the hospital, they make him wear those paper things.
Oh, yeah, those things and no back.
Yeah, buddy.
Mm. On September 10th, 1947... couple in Nesden, Fred and Margaret Young, and Margaret's was known as Molly. Molly Young.
Well, that's dumb.
Celebrated the birth of their second child, a boy they christened Graham Frederick Young. But it didn't take him 3 fucking days to give him a name.
I want to call her Maggie.
Maggie?
Yeah. Margaret?
Maybe. Anyway, Graham Frederick Young was their offspring.
You know
offspring.
What I tell her?
What?
Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say to you.
Now,
it's late September. I should really be back at school.
Sadly.
I know I keep
sadly.
But I feel I'm being used.
Oh, Timmy, I couldn't have tried anymore.
Yeah, I never did like that song because it sounded like me. He was banging an old woman.
He was.
He was. Dumbass.
That's what I believe. That was.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What are you banging an old woman?
Yeah,
because
in the morning when the sun hits her face, she looks like the Crypt Keeper.
And by old woman, Timmy means somebody over 30.
Yeah, right. 30, 35.
I'm not commenting on that. I'd like to keep people guessing. Margaret, you call Maggie.
Maggie.
She developed pleurisy, Brandy.
Oof.
While she was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And then, can be very, hurts, as you know, man. It can be very serious.
What is pleurisy, Timmy?
Well, it's the inflammation of the pleura. Brandy,
mm-hmm.
A lining that surrounds the lungs and can be very serious.
Yes.
I've had mine ruptured before, Timmy.
Your pleura?
Broke my rib.
If you have one right more, if you have more than one pleura, what do you have?
Pleurae.
Pleurae. No, pleuris.
Pleurae.
Because you got the pleurises.
However, have you ever had scurvy?
No.
Who in this room has never had scurvy?
What is this, pick on Tim Day or something?
You know, in...
Yes.
Pleurisies.
You had a thought?
Yeah.
Come on, Dr. Quinn.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tossed the pleurisies out of the temple.
By the way, I listened to rants.
Wasn't that the Pharisee?
I listened to rants and reasons, and Karen owns you on that show, dude.
You know what?
She destroyed you.
I don't want to hear it.
I mean, really.
You know why? Because she's new at this, and I give her some room to move. All
she
right.
Kills him, man.
Oh, well, probably. She's much smarter.
Yes.
No, she is not. She is not smarter.
You do not speak well. You should not represent the, I'm sure,
the liberals. Are dumb.
Yeah.
That's you what will. You get from the show. Liberals are dumb.
You would reinforce that,
couldn't
dude.
We find anybody else?
What? Yeah, I mean, better send this guy.
Wait a minute. I understand Harambe is not available, but couldn't we have found Coco, the signing gorilla, or something?
Well, she does research and stuff. I mean,
Coco does?
No, Karen does. And she owns him on that show. Peon. Anyway, 1947, when antibiotics weren't as widely available, Percy is potentially a lot worse, Brandy.
Percy?
Who's Percy?
Whatever.
God,
in Molly
damn.
Young's case, it was about as bad as could get. She turned out to be a symptom even worse than the disease. She developed tuberculosis.
I think the consumption.
Consumption.
I think consumption. Tim, I think Tim's on drugs. Which I died.
Which at the time. So, yeah, she got the consumption.
Are you on drugs? Like, you're fucking up worse than usual with your pronunciation-isms.
No, I'm not. I'm totally off
track. Would you like to be real quick?
I would love to be. Anyway, at the time, of course, the consumption was deadly. And 3 months after Graham was born, his mother, Molly, died.
Oh, poor Maggie.
That left Fred Young to bring up his new baby as well as his daughter. His daughter's name was Winfred.
They call her Winnie?
Winfred.
They called her Winnie?
Yeah.
Tell me they call her Winnie. Okay.
They did. That makes more sense. She was 8 years old. So he's with these two small children, right? He also had a hold down as a job as a machine setter. Colonel, any thoughts on that?
I was a machine setter for a while, Timmy.
Back in Nam.
Did you enjoy it? What kind of machines did you set?
I set a IBM typewriter, yeah. I would typesetter. I was a typesetter.
It's different than a machine setter. You know that, right?
Well, a typewriter is a machine, Devil. It's a machine that puts...
He has a point, Brandy.
...letters on a page.
Stop talking.
Anyway, his sister moved
Winnie.
In. Winnie moved in with Fred's mother.
So grandmother.
Graham's mother, yeah.
What?
No, Graham's mother. It moved in with
her
Fred's,
grandmother.
Yeah, grandmother. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So they, his dad was a machine setter. I said he couldn't cope with two children, and he sent him to live with their aunt and uncle Jack. His sister.
They
separated.
Stay with Uncle Jack.
Well, Fred went to live with his aunt and Uncle Jack. And his sister moved in with Fred's mother, so they separated them, okay?
Aww.
This is sad. Now, Graham quickly bonded with his aunt and uncle and hated to be separated from them, even for a short period of time. And her name was also Winnie.
Oh, well, so that's convenient.
Yeah, they must name Winnie the daughter after her, I'm guessing. Winnie and Jack, the uncle, lived in a neat, rented, two-up, two-down, post-war house. And I have the road, and I'm not sure that's important.
It is not.
They were they lived opposite fields in a small park, which is, you know, cool.
Convenient.
If you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a reservoir there. So
somebody gonna die.
Yeah.
Somebody
the reservoir die. Was known as Welch's Harp. And, yeah, park and reservoir were popular places for the children to play, Brandy.
You might find reservoir dogs there.
Might. Canines. Graham was too young to go out on his own.
Sure.
But he didn't even seem interested in playing at home. He often just sat, rocking backwards and forwards.
I feel like that might be a bigger issue.
When he was 2.5, his father remarried. And with his new wife, who was also called Molly. This story's a little confusing.
Dude.
Yeah. There's a Molly. He married another Molly. What's the odds of marrying
pretty
two
good.
Mollies?
Molly was a pretty
Ireland,
prevalent
you can't
name.
Swing a damn dead drunk Irishman without hitting a Molly.
If you're dead, can you be drunk?
You can't swing a dead dwarf without hitting a drunk Irishman.
And here's the other thing.
Named Molly.
Margaret should have never been called Molly. So that really wasn't her name.
Margaret should have been Peg.
Or Maggie.
That
well,
makes sense.
Maggie.
Well, if he's in throws a passion, if he calls out Molly,
he's in good shape.
Yeah.
It's convenient. Okay.
So he really married Molly number two to have a mother for his kid.
Sure.
Fred was pragmatic like that. He bought a house. He bought the house that Winnie and Jack were renting and set up home there with Molly and Graham. And later, Winnie, the daughter, joined them. And Fred and Molly set about bringing the children up. So Fred and Molly, Winnie and Graham, they're all back together.
And Jack, and Winnie are living upstairs.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a big family.
One big happy family.
For now.
Got off to a bad start, however, Brandy.
Uh-oh.
Because Graham was visibly upset about leaving his aunt and uncle. So perhaps...
Well, yeah.
Perhaps the trauma of being taken away from them affected him more than people could imagine.
So taken downstairs from them?
Yeah, I don't think they... I think they kicked him out, kicked him to the curb.
Oh, that's nice. That's a fine how do you do.
Anyway.
I hate that. I hate when that happens.
Anyway.
Come home. I hate when that happens. You go back home, people act like they don't even recognize you, your shit all gone.
Well, you know, thanks for raising my kids. Get the fuck out now. Thanks.
No longer needed.
Yeah.
Not essential.
Your services are no longer required. Buh the fuck bye.
But Graham didn't adjust too well to this.
Well,
rapid,
I imagine not.
Rapid change.
You ever been kicked out of a bar, Devil?
Why? What have just you curious. Heard?
Just curious.
I don't know.
You're not under
okay,
oath.
Okay, just we'll get back to the story.
I don't know what to
but
do.
A quick tour because on rants we did one on drugs, and I was a little surprised, but LSD, you ever tried?
Not on purpose.
Okay. Other drugs, cocaine.
No. Why did you look surprised? No, I've never had cocaine.
What was some marijuana, of course, you had.
Devil's lettuce.
Devil's lettuce, yeah. But the LSD and the barbiturates, I know you abuse on a regular basis. So
what? No, not LSD.
She's a barbiturate bitch.
She's a Barbie bitch over here. come on, you got barbiturates on you right now.
But first
eat,
of all,
you eat goddamn barbiturates.
Can you pee in a
like
cup for us?
You eat second all like Skittles. What's that?
Ask her if she could pee in a cup for us.
Yeah, we're gonna need some.
Let's
I
do don't an know. On the air pee test right now.
Yeah.
Whip them out. Pee if you got them.
There's mine.
No. Negative.
I'm wondering if any of us here could pass.
I feel like I could.
All right, Colonel. Continue with your inventory of her drug.
Yeah, I mean, I know you eat second all like Skittles.
What?
Have you ever smoked any crack?
No.
Timmy?
No.
Well, depends on who's crack for Timmy.
He's made some crack smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
a good one.
That was.
Okay, I'm done. Oh. I just when we
okay,
did
so,
it.
So she, that so let me guess the story you were just telling us. It really didn't go anywhere.
No, it went nowhere.
It's
like,
going somewhere.
No, it landed.
It just surprised me because I did not know in this day and age when you were talking about how my co-host burns me, she has not done nary any of those drugs.
I believe
no,
that.
No, I'm kind of a pot girl. I mean, I do like the occasional pill here and there.
You know me, I'm a teetotaler.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you are.
The Colonel is the Colonel
no.
pure.
Yeah.
Vampire right. come into this room, he looking right at me. I got the purest blood in this room.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Except for all the Xanax and the you
yeah,
know,
well,
various and assorted yeah. other things. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so Graham is upset when the aunt and uncle get kicked to the curb, right?
Have you noticed how much we stay on task when the devil ain't here?
I know.
Do you notice how he keeps interrupting you and it's not me?
Anyway, it didn't take long before people started noticing that Graham was an unusual child. By the age of 5, he joined his sister at Braincroft Junior High. But
what?
Braincroft?
Junior high?
Junior school.
What the motherfucker? He couldn't get into Hogwarts?
Well,
so he put him into Braincroft?
But he never really fit in, Brandy.
Does that mean that he's smarter his sister's touched?
No, because she's younger than him, so.
No, she's not. She's older than him.
Mm. In 1958, Brandy, Britain still had a two-tiered secondary school system where children were about 11 years old. They would sit for an exam. And then they decide if they're going to go to, like, a secondary school or they're just going to give them, like, a skills trade type of deal.
Right. So you're either going to the career center or college.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was in school, all the hoods went to the career center.
Well, that's where he... No, but now he was bright. Now, see,
now,
Graham...
See, you say that like it's a bad thing.
No. I mean, we weren't given the option.
I used to go into school on my senior year from 8 o'clock to 10:30 every day, read the newspaper... And then go to my job.
Well, yeah, Graham did quite well on his exam, despite, you know, his trouble.
Being 5?
Yeah.
He was 5 when he
well,
sat
no,
for this?
When he sat for the exam, when he was older. His father bought him a chemistry set as a reward. The choice of the gift was an obvious one. Graham wasn't really all that academic, but he was good in chemistry. So, you know, we were talking about Noah being a doctor.
Yeah.
Well, here's what could go wrong.
Maybe Noah could be Breaking Bad.
First of all, I'm confused because he's so gifted that he, at 5, he's joining his older sister.
At Hogwarts.
Who is 13.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In her school.
She must have been a dumbass.
So let me
which
go through
is
it.
Either that. Well, hold on. Okay. Which is either she's a dumbass or he's very bright. But now he's taken this exam, which he does well on. Yes. But he's still. But now he's not very bright. Yeah. But he's good at chemistry.
He's very good at chemistry.
He has an aptitude for chemistry.
You're hard to
In fact,
too.
By the age, by the
I'm
age
just
of
trying
nine,
to get this straight.
By the age of nine, he developed an interest in all sorts of chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
He was constantly borrowing his stepmother's perfumes and nail polish remover and carrying out simple experiments with them. Unknown to his father, he was also sniffing the vapor.
He was sniffing glue?
Yeah. He was sniffing the
that was so chemicals. Loud. Who, the dad or the kid?
No, the kid, Graham.
Ah. Well, yeah.
Graham learned the active ingredients in common medicines, and whenever one of the family took any of them, he explained exactly what was in them and how they worked. So he's a smart little kid.
He's a little smart ass, because if I'm not feeling well, last thing I want to hear is, this is a nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching. Shut the fuck up and get out of here.
Fuck out of here.
I just want to go to sleep.
People would prefer it if he didn't do that. He also told him in detail what would happen if they overdose.
You know, he's the guy on the Cialis commercials. You could die. You could get your dick could fall off.
Erection.
Yeah, your dick could fall off. You could die.
You know what I always wondered about that now?
Temporary left side paralysis.
If
or death.
Timmy.
Yes.
If you get an erection that lasts for 4 hours, how many people are you gonna call before you call?
Oh,
your
I'm
doctor?
Posting it on fucking Facebook.
Goddamn right I am. Oh, I'm God. Calling everybody. I'm going live on Facebook. I'm just like, okay. It's 1:15. I'll check back in with you at 2:15.
I don't know. After a while, it'd get kind of old to be walking around with a boner, though.
Nah, never too old, Timmy.
Brandy, your thoughts on that?
I'm just, you know, at Chuck's age, four
you're,
minutes.
You're anti-boner.
4 minutes he should
Are
be.
Are you anti-boner?
I am certainly Are not anti-boner.
Are you anti-boner? Okay.
She's pro-boner.
Pro-boner.
I am.
All right, so
that's how Timmy does his work.
And let's get on
pro boner
with this story.
Timmy does his legal
so
work.
So this guy's little, you know it all. He's going around telling people.
I hate that kid.
Yeah. By the time he reached his teens, oh wait a minute, when he was old enough to read, he liked to read nonfiction accounts of murder, and accounts of Dr. Crippen, the infamous poisoner, was one of his favorites. So he's odd. The kid's a weirdo. He's a weirdo.
Yeah.
By the time he reached his teens, he developed an unhealthy fascination with Herr Hitler.
With who?
Adolf Hitler. And took to wearing swastikas and would tell people the virtues of Hitler and that he was misunderstood to anyone who would listen.
He should have developed a left hook because he was going to get his ass beat.
He also read widely on the occult. Claiming knowledge, like you, Brandy, claiming knowledge of Wiccans and local covens, trying to involve local children in bizarre occult ceremonies, which involved sacrificing cats. Now, that's not cool.
Good God. He is like Hitler Youth. He is Hitler Youth.
The disappearance of a number of local cats around this time may have pointed to a more regular occurrence of these sacrificial ceremonies.
So do we later know this guy as Dr. Mengele?
This guy's not good. But his main interest, Brandy, was poisons. He was fascinated how toxins could affect a human body. And at 14, Graham was eager to find a human guinea pig for his studies. He chose a gullible classmate. Graham decided to put his knowledge on poisons to the test. His first victim, Brandy, are you guys okay? His first victim was fellow science pupil Christopher William.
Oh, poor Chris.
I'm guessing Christopher wasn't that good at science.
Well, he suffered an extended period of vomiting based upon these tests, painful cramps, headaches due to these poisons that Graham had fed him, a cocktail of poisons.
Hold on. Did the kid know he was taking this?
I'm not sure if he knew it or not.
It's a clutch part of the story.
But but when he went to the doctor, the medical professionals were baffled.
Eat some charcoal.
Graham was.
Christopher was lucky.
Graham could have told you.
Christopher was lucky to have survived, Brandy. Probably because Young couldn't satisfy his scientific curiosity. He would monitor the illness of his victims when he got when they were sick. When this kid got sick, he went home. He couldn't monitor him, so he got frustrated with that. So he decided to focus on a group that he had unlimited access to, his own family.
Seems logical.
How old is this kid now?
He's like 9 or 10.
About
no 14, 14.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
No.
Noah's good
Jake's age.
He's Jake's age, yeah.
Tell us what happens next, Brandy.
Well, in 19...
19- If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1961, when Graham was just 14 years old, he began to test his murderous concoctions by lacing his family's teacups with various chemicals and poisons.
No prick in it.
You know what? I just want my kid to talk back.
Yeah. Could you just stay out past curfew? Yeah,
okay, just don't clean your room. I don't know.
Something. Well, and you can tell they're in England. Yeah. Lace their teacups.
I just want to say, Logan, Tana, Taylor, thank you.
Yeah. You really, they're underappreciated.
They are.
I'm going to wake up with Noah taking a butter knife right over my stomach going, you know.
What's in there, Mommy?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Right.
Poor Noah.
When the family began to show intermittent signs of poisoning during the early part of 1961, Young's father initially suspected that Young might be inadvertently harming the family by the careless use of his chemistry set at home. But, you know, whatever his name was, Dr. Frankenstein there, he denied the accusation.
Well,
it's crazy talk.
He was being unfairly accused.
His name's Graham, I believe.
There should have been a trial. The potential for deliberate poisoning was never considered, especially as Young had also been ill on a number of occasions.
Oh, so see?
See? Well, see, but that's smart. He's faking his own, so he fits right in.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking sociopath. It remains unclear whether this was by design to avoid detection, through scientific interest in his own reactions, or just the carelessness of exactly which teacups he'd poison. You gotta keep track of that shit.
So it's undetermined whether or not he's an idiot.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you really need to write that shit down when you're
around. Mark him with a Sharpie or something.
Or, you know, give up tea. You can do that. But maybe it was on his hands or something, you know?
Yeah. This dumbass needs to learn. Wear gloves.
I mean, he's not dumb. He's obviously bright. He knows how to poison people.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to not poison yourself in the process.
No, I agree. It's like that flamethrower.
Mercury.
It's like the flamethrower on, you know, what's the game, Colonel?
Game of Thrones?
No. The game, the card game, Grand Theft Auto. When you use that flamethrower, you get it on yourself and you catch yourself on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
I hate that.
Yeah.
It's not anything
it's
like
kinda
that.
It's kind of like that.
Nope.
Kind of.
So, Nope. Throughout 1961, every family member in the household became deathly sick at one point or another. When Graham's oldest sister,
Winnie,
was found by doctors to have been poisoned by belladonna in November of 1961, Young's father again suspected him but took no action.
Well, how is it that she came across belladonna in her normal activities?
Well, the dad suspected him. Maybe she came across
a Stevie Nicks album.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. My thing is...
Can you sing a little gypsy for us, Colonel?
Oh, no. Don't. Please don't ruin it. Please don't ruin it.
A little waterfalls.
No. No. None of that. Here's the thing.
You can be my
Nope. Got a whole bag.
Well, you know Stevie Nicks is older now.
She's still pretty hot.
Yeah, but have you seen her like... You know,
well,
like,
I mean, in the morning... Sun in her face really shows her age.
Oh, God, now we're fucking up our 70s songs. But let me tell you something.
Yes, Brandon.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
So the dad does nothing, which means he doesn't give a shit about the daughter, and he thinks the son's going to be a moneymaker.
I mean, you can't put it all on Fred.
No, I'm saying he should have nipped this shit in the fucking bud. And
well, where's Molly? Molly has some responsibility in it. Molly 1 and Molly 2. Well, Molly 1's dead, but Molly 2.
Molly 1 would struggle. All right, so Molly Young.
Molly One's not good for much at this point.
No. Molly Young.
I wonder if she really had tuberculosis or a bad sandwich or a bad cup of tea.
She just had allergies.
Yeah. Molly Young, his stepmother, became the concerted focus of Graham's attentions, gradually becoming more ill until finally, on April 21st, 1962, she was found by her husband writhing in agony in the back garden of their home with Young looking on in fascination.
Your thoughts on that, Colonel?
I think she was being a little overdramatic. She just didn't want to go to school that day.
Well, no, she's the wife. That's Molly, the second wife, Molly too.
Jesus, well, goddamn, so hard Christ.
She don't clarify anything. She's clear in her enunciation.
But anyway, what do you think about that?
You know what would be great? If you could quit texting like a teenager.
He's going to have to go out and find a third Molly at this point.
Well, I'm sure he can find one. Evidently, he can't swing a...
A dead hooker.
Yeah. So.
We get so much trouble for dead hooker memes on our page.
So.
People always want to know how to hook a guy killed. Mark Zuckerberg
is fucking testifying in front of Congress, but he's worried about our dead hooker memes.
Exactly.
Sex workers.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so.
Dead sex worker.
Molly.
Yeah.
Two.
Molly two.
Electric
Molly.
Boogaloo.
Molly Jr.
She became ill. She's writhing in agony in the back garden.
It would have been Graham so much better if her name was Alice or something.
Right. Graham's just sitting there kind of watching her, and the dad flies out. They take Molly to the hospital, and she died later that night.
Ugh.
I'd really like this part, though. Her cause of death was determined as a prolapse of a spinal bone.
Oh. Ooh, you ever had that, Colonel?
Spinal bone connected to the hip bone.
If you ever have a prolapse, it's a problem.
Yeah, prolapse to anything is an issue. And she was cremated, not surprisingly, at Graham's suggestion, which why he the fuck has say in anything, I'm not exactly sure.
You know what? Let's catch her on fire. I got an idea.
14-year-old.
Yeah. Who's going to make this decision?
You know,
well, let me step up.
It's funny. She was just talking to me the other day and said if something happened to her, she wanted to be burned
in
up.
The event that there's a prolapse.
Yeah. In the event that she dies mysteriously. Yeah.
Please cremate me.
Yeah. So, and no further action was taken.
So they're taking their, they disposed of her based upon this 14-year-old recommendation.
So, you know, yeah, because that's evidently how things worked.
Okay.
And no further action was taken. Graham begged his father to cremate Molly because he could not stand the thought of Mumsy in the cold, dark ground being eaten by worms.
Ah, so...
Yeah,
well, that's pretty graphic.
Well, those fucking worms would die pretty quick.
First of all, he
got
called
the cyanide laced.
He called her Mumsy. Well, yeah, the worms would die, wouldn't they? You'd have a bunch of dead grass.
And then you'd have a bunch of. I wonder how many cycles it would take before because the other worms would eat the dead worms and then they would die.
Right.
How
it's
eventually
a vicious cycle.
Eventually, it would infest.
It would mutate.
To the crops and stuff.
Get into the water table.
Mm-hmm. He called her mumsy.
Okay.
I don't know what to do with
that. So he begged his dad to cremate her.
So his father thought it kind of odd that Graham seemed so upset when he had never been very fond of his stepmother.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone, Brandon. Yeah.
Nevertheless, his father agreed to have Molly cremated. So I'm glad they could come to a consensus on that.
Let's clarify who's texting as a teenager. You're talking about the colonel, right?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Look at him. Okay. That's why he can't keep up with the fucking story.
Keeping up with this story is like keeping up with a bunch of dwarves juggling bowling balls.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Keeping up with this story is like trying to keep up with Stephen Hawking singing opera.
He had a lovely voice.
Sorry to hit those high notes.
But he did it magnificently. I don't know what you're doing.
God. Oh, that's so bad,
dead,
dude.
That's awful.
Dude, my brother died of ALS. I get to make those jokes.
No, you don't.
See what he does every time. He always brings his dead brother, his dead mom. He's always got some relative who he can make fun of.
My gay kids.
His gay children.
Yeah, like nobody. Yeah, he gets to make fun of everybody because he's got one. That's bullshit. Anywho.
Huh?
What?
Why are you all nasty today?
I'm not in a good mood.
Remember
good
when
mood
we
yesterday?
Did these, Timmy, and it was all friendly and jovial?
Like last week when it was
there
just
was
me
a
you.
Spirit of camaraderie.
When I was working. Yeah, I remember that. Okay, so anyway.
They can't see the air quotes around working. Go ahead, Doug.
No, there's no air bunnies around working. It's an actual
Moving along.
So it was.
She was helping people find jobs.
It was later discovered that Molly.
At Target.
Whatever. They need people too. Had developed a tolerance to the antimony in which Graham was slowly poisoning her. So he switched to thallium the night before her death to speed things along.
Well, that's smart, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, otherwise he could be waiting for months. She developed the tolerance to the poison.
Right. Okay. So he switched it up and just to, you know, get things moving. We got to get this moving.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
He was an odd little kid.
He really was. Let's see. There were even reports of further nausea and vomiting attacks at her funeral. Mm. Clearly, the death of his stepmother had not dulled Young's scientific curiosity.
Well.
Following Molly's death, Fred Young's attacks of vomiting and cramping became more frequent and increasingly severe. He was also admitted to the hospital where he was diagnosed with antimony poisoning.
Man, it'd be hard to get into the restroom in that household.
Well, they just probably went outside.
Yeah.
He was lucky to have survived his son's experimentation, but could not come to accept that his son was responsible.
Now, see, he's in denial, Brandy. You want to explain denial to her, Colonel?
Yeah, it's like when you...
The state that the both of you live in?
Yeah, well, you know, denial, devil. It means that you refuse to accept the truth. Okay?
Like we accept that you're working when we really know.
We accept... Like you refuse to accept, well, our Lord Jesus into your life.
And I think she's religious, aren't you?
No, she ain't religious. She's religious when she's doing that moon dance, naked, running around naked at the cauldron on the equinox. You're religious then.
Do you celebrate?
Where's the equinox? Like the car?
Yeah. It's like a thing you get check your credit, isn't it?
Right, yeah. All right, so the role... The role of responsibility fell to Young's school chemistry teacher, who contacted the police when he discovered poisons and numerous articles and other material about famous poisoners in Graham's school desk.
Oh, see, you got what you keep in your school desk.
Well, yeah.
I wonder if it's like an old-time desk where you lift the top up and you have the pinwheel.
Yeah, probably.
Well, whatever.
You know, I'm going to run for president. My first priority is going to be chemistry set control.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Those need regulated.
In his case,
what point did they say, you know, people are dropping like flies around here. Maybe we ought not give Graham the arsenic.
Well, hold on. So Graham was sent to a police psychiatrist where his encyclopedic knowledge of poisons soon became apparent.
Yeah, that's not a good time to brag.
No, that's not what
Graham Young was arrested on May 23rd, 1962. He admitted the poisoning of his father, sister, and school friend, Williams, but no murder charges were brought against him for the murder of his stepmother.
Well, she was
as any evidence had been destroyed at the time of her cremation.
Cremation.
Yeah, well, he couldn't bear the thought of her being eaten by worms.
Not mumsy. Still, only 14, he was committed to Broadmoor Maximum Security Hospital.
Okay.
The youngest inmate since 1885 for a minimum period of 15 years.
Okay. Sounds reasonable to me, Colonel.
Incarceration.
He can be a young man when he gets out.
Yeah.
Incarceration barely dampened Graham's enthusiasm for experimentation. Duh, he's surrounded by people that nobody's really going to miss, probably.
Yeah.
In fact, it merely gave him access to new subjects.
Okay.
Within weeks of Graham's arrival at the hospital, the death of an inmate, John Berridge, by cyanide poisoning, had prison authorities baffled.
How the
really?
Are you going to get a hold had of prison, cyanide?
Had prison authorities baffled?
How are you getting cyanide into prison?
Well, you know, you can always bribe the janitor. But here's my point. You have a serial poisoner in your facility, and you're baffled that this guy died by cyanide poisoning.
Well,
but you don't have to be baffled by it.
They should have called in Sherlock Holmes.
They should have called. Dude, they could have called in the Keystone Cops to get this shit right.
You don't know he did it.
I'm pretty sure. All right.
You know what happened was when you assume.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Graham readily confessed to the poisoning, so they didn't need to be baffled long because he just walked up and told them. He claimed to have extracted the cyanide from laurel bush leaves.
Oh, that's smart.
Oh, yeah, and here we go.
Good thinking.
And as many things that happen, his confession was not taken seriously, and Berridge's death was ruled a suicide.
Death by misadventure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he could have killed himself. He was after all, he was incarcerated.
I didn't know those things necessarily.
Well, sure, you get depressed when you're incarcerated. Look at the colonel. He was incarcerated overnight.
I was incarcerated. I done my time in a pokey.
He did his pokey time.
I
bet he did.
That's what I told him. I could do a day standing on my head.
So this is nothing.
Or bent over.
This is nothing compared to the hell I lived
on through. Other occasions, staff and inmates' drinks were found to have been tampered with, including the introduction of an abrasive sodium compound, commonly called sugar soap.
That would be concerning to me.
Used for preparing painted walls.
Really?
It was in a tea urn that could have caused mass poisoning had it not been discovered. While locked away, Graham continued to read widely about poisoning, although he began to keep his obsession increasingly well hidden. Duh.
Why would they give him books on chemicals?
I don't know. When authorities made it clear that appearing less obsessed would speed up his release. I'm going to tell you how to get out of here. Idiots.
I'm going to keep killing everybody till they just forget who I am.
Exactly.
And just walk through the gate.
Put down the arsenic. You have a better chance of getting out of here.
By the late 1960s, Young's doctor seemed oblivious to his continued fatal fascination and recommended in June of 1970 that he be released as he had been cured.
Okay, so he's cured.
He's like a ham, like a Christmas ham. He was just cured up.
He was cured.
Well, Graham celebrated his release by informing a psychiatric nurse that he intended to kill one person for every year he had been in Broadmoor.
Yeah.
The comment was recorded.
At least he had goals.
Seems reasonable.
Here we go. The comment was recorded on his file, but amazingly, never influenced the decision to release him. He's just spouting off.
He's just acting out.
He's just
Graham's acting out.
He's good. He's a good boy. Mm-hmm. He's a good boy. Let's see. Graham was released on February 4th, 1971. He was now age 23. He went to stay in a hostel, but had contact with his sister, Winnie, who had moved to Hemel Hempstead following her marriage.
Wouldn't you think they would call those friendlies? More likely to check into a friendly than a hostel.
Do you remember friendlies? They had the best ice cream.
Do you remember the movie Hostels?
I do.
Yeah, that was good. They'd kill those people with chainsaws.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
That was good.
Okay.
How did you not see Hostel?
I just didn't see it.
God damn.
It was a great movie.
Despite having been poisoned by him, Winnie was more forgiving than her father, who initially wanted nothing to do with his son. Really. Winnie and Graham reconnected after his release and seemed to establish a healthy relationship.
Okay.
Mm. when he was concerned by his fixation with his crimes.
Was she a poo?
Well, no, I don't think Winnie, so. Was not.
Well,
no.
Where Winnie? Oh, Winnie taking a poo.
She with Piglet. Leave her alone. Let's see. She was concerned by his fixation with his crimes. He took great delight in visiting the scenes of his past crimes.
Okay.
Thriving on the reaction of his old neighbors in Nesden when they recognized who he was.
He reminds me of Jesse Pomeroy, the boy fiend. Remember that one we did?
Oh, yeah. I liked him.
Yeah, me too.
Graham, really? Graham made me.
Yeah, that fucked up eye, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Had the googly eye.
The frog eye. I know. Yeah. Graham made many trips to London, where he stocked up on the antimony, thallium, and other poisons required for his experiments, and a fellow hostel resident, 34-year-old Trevor Sparks, was soon exhibiting the familiar cramps and sickness.
See, if this kid's anywhere near you and you start feeling a little upset stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't reach for the tongues.
Another man.
Right to the ER.
Yeah. Another man he befriended experienced such agony that he took his own life. Although no connection to Graham.
I'm laughing.
Although no connection to Graham Young was established at the time.
Right there, like, oh, I was going to go lay down, but I'm going to kill myself instead. Jeez. How many pages she get?
More
she
than
got three over there. I got one.
Because you tend to ramble. Graham soon found
work. We were talking about a new project we're working on, a podcast, and Nina from Already Gone said, she suggested that we're going to do 30 minutes, and she said, well, about 7 to 9 pages is 30 minutes. And I said, really? Because we get 5 pages, we get an hour out of it.
Right. So you guys are doing other projects and you're not including me? Is that the fucking
deal? We can't even get you to hear.
They said, the other people said no. I'm sorry.
You're invited if you want, but you don't even show up for this.
You've been blackballed. And you'll never work in this industry again.
It's in the very beginning stages.
Whatever. Graham soon found work as a store man.
But it'll be soon available on iTunes.
You keep talking, though.
We wanted you.
We did. We didn't think we could afford you.
The other people didn't want you. Yeah. The other people was your parents.
Yeah, I know. That's like when my mom told me that the Girl Scouts wouldn't take me. They fucking take everybody, but they wouldn't take me. And that's what she told me. It scarred me for life. Well, I couldn't even be a brownie or whatever.
Well, do you know that it's not true?
What?
That they rejected you?
Yeah, I figured that out when I was about 30. Up until then, which scarred me worse.
You know, what happened to me later on in life where I got scarred, I had a dog, Humphrey. It was a good dog. He liked me, but he didn't like other people. He was kind of a houndish kind of mix.
Mix?
Yeah, and he was a really good dog, but one day apparently.
What was his name?
Humphrey.
Humphrey, nice name.
So I come home and my dog's gone.
Okay. Humphrey's
son
gone.
Of a bitch.
The dog's gone.
Was he poisoned?
Was this guy around? Told me that he had to go to a farm because he was getting so big, and my uncle Earl had a farm.
He really got hit by a car or something.
No, as I got older, I was like, hold the fuck on. Earl lives in an apartment in the nastiest section of town. That motherfucker ain't had a farm ever. So now I'm older at this time, so I go to my mom and I was like, Mom, what the hell happened to my dog, Humphrey? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, I came home from school one day. Humphrey was gone. You said he was getting too big. He needed to be on a farm. Turns out my mom was hanging clothes on the line in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Humphrey growled at her. She took the sumbitch to the SPCA and had him put sleep.
Oh, Randy, that's traumatic.
That's some cold shit right there.
Your mom's OG.
She had my stepdad put him in the car.
Your mom
took him to the SPCA and had him put down.
That's pretty bad.
For growling at her was well.
You know what? You're lucky you didn't growl at her.
My mama was a tiny woman. I always said my mama never slapped me ever, never. She would hit you with a closed hand because it hurt her to slap.
Well, I've told my kids that I'll beat you with your brother.
You've had a tragic life.
I mean, it was like 20. I was in my 20s or something. I realized, hold on, this motherfucker ain't got.
Did it happen when you were in your 20s?
No, it happened when I was like in the 6th grade, 7th grade.
But that's, you know what? Here's the point. That's fine. I will be off being fabulous all on my own. That's fine.
No, I'll never get off ground, but. But it was funny how many pages that some podcasts can get through.
I know.
And we have a problem doing that.
Graham soon found work as a store man at John Hadland Laboratories.
Oh.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
A photographic supply firm where his new employers were aware of his Broadmoor stay, but not as his history as a poisoner. What the fuck did they think he was in there for?
Well, I mean, he could be in the hospital for a number of things. He just didn't know he was...
They might have had some reservations, given the easy availability of poisons, such as thallium, routinely used in photographic processes, but he had, in any case, already secured his poison supplies from unsuspecting London pharmacists.
You remember when those Polaroids first came out?
No.
You could take some dirty pictures with them, couldn't you, Colonel?
You could, Timmy. You could. That was before the digital age.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You could take any. You just got get it. You know, you was around back then. You got freaky pictures laying around.
No.
Well, dude, you wouldn't have to take them to the...
That was the 70s. If there are freaky pictures laying around of me then, that's a bigger problem for somebody. Because
I was too young.
I was very young. Graham's willingness, in fact, his eagerness to make tea and coffee for his coworkers, raised no concerns.
Hey, coffee boy.
Eh. Therefore...
Teach them.
When Young's boss, 59-year-old Bob Eagle, began to experience severe cramps and dizziness, it was attributed to a virus thought to be doing the rounds.
Oh, of course. It's always known, a virus around here. He's a carrier.
Known locally as the Bovington bug.
Ooh, which had affected worse than the Bovington bug, Colonel.
Which had affected a number of local school
not
children.
Oh, the Bovington bug.
All the ones. Are the school children from Bovington? I'm assuming.
I assume so. Other Hadland workers complained of similar cramps, but none were ever as severe as Eggles, who curiously seemed to recover when off work ill, but instantly became sicker than ever on his return to work. Eggle was eventually admitted to the hospital, where he died in agony on July 7th, 1971. His cause of death was recorded as pneumonia.
Well, you know, pneumonia is something you have to be very cautious of, Brandy.
In September of 1971, 60-year-old Fred Biggs began to suffer similar symptoms to Eggle, and general absenteeism at Hadland increased dramatically, with employees suffering a variety of unusual and debilitating ailments, including the usual cramps, hair loss, and sexual dysfunction. Can you take off work for sexual dysfunction?
Oh, yeah.
Or hair loss?
Both. I've missed several
both
days.
Both counts.
I've missed several days this month just for hair loss and sexual dysfunction.
Various.
It's embarrassing when I have to call our boss. Tell
well, I bet. I got a boner. It won't go away. It's been 6 hours.
Kevin, I've lost a little bit of hair this morning.
There was hair on my sheets.
Get ready. Help me.
Various sources were considered, including water contamination, radioactive fallout. What? Could have been the aliens. Radioactive fallout and leakage of the chemicals used at the firm itself, but no real progress was made towards the cause. Biggs was eventually admitted to the London Hospital for nervous diseases.
Well, he was nervous.
Well, you would be too if you were shitting your brains out. But it took a long time to die, a cause of some frustration to Young, who recorded his displeasure in his diary. Son of a bitch, see, just won't go.
See, that's his downfall, is he keeps records.
But he eventually succumbed on November 19th, 1971, in excruciating pain. A workplace inquiry was conducted to determine the safety of the lab. This second death raised great concern within the firm. By this stage, about 70 employees had recorded similar symptoms, and there were fears for personal safety. Does nobody notice that this dipshit over here is not getting sick?
The coffee boy.
Yeah. The doctor on site tried to reassure staff by insisting that health and safety rules were being strictly adhered to, and was taken aback when Graham Young challenged him in front of colleagues, quizzing him on why thallium poisoning had not been considered as a cause.
I do not believe considering Graham had been rehabilitated.
Now he's just being a show-off.
Considering that it was used in the photographic process.
Yeah.
The doctor was surprised at the in-depth toxicological knowledge.
Toxicological.
Espoused. That's what I just said.
Yeah, toxicological.
Okay. Yeah, so he's surprised at his knowledge.
Espoused by Graham Young and brought it to the attention of management.
Why did you put that word in her
Yeah, because I nailed it. I nailed it.
After the third attempt.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, you liked it.
No, I wasn't like Mel Tillis over here. I fucking drilled it.
You like the motherfucker leaps off the ramp into gymnastics face first into the pommel horse.
No. I'm not that one either. I nailed it.
Don't be talking about me. I'm not saying a word.
He's Switzerland over here.
Switzerland.
In Switzerland.
Let's see. So they called the police finally. Subsequent forensic inquiries revealed that the thallium poisoning, the first recorded case of deliberate poisoning by this heavy metal ever recorded. Graham Young's previous poison conviction
poisoned somebody in that chair. Twisted Sister. Yeah.
They're
just not going to take it, Timmy.
They did not do a background check on this son of a bitch. What about Quiet Riot? I don't know. They weren't suspects.
Okay.
Let's see.
But they're not heavy metal, are they?
They are. Mental health drove them mad. Anyway.
I thought that would be more like Metallica or something.
Mm. So anyway. So his poison conviction was soon unearthed, as were his collection of poisons and meticulous diaries recording explicit dosages administered to individuals.
You don't keep a diary. If you're going to be a serial killer, don't keep a fucking diary. How fucking hard is it, Colonel?
Right. Now they'd have Twitter and shit. Just tweet it out.
You're going to tweet it out?
Yeah,
he did.
Be careful when you tweet it.
All right.
Tweet.
Okay, so anyway, fucker kept diaries.
So what happens next, Colonel? Bring us home.
I'm going to bring this son of a bitch home. Now, Graham, he was arrested.
Arrested, Brandy?
In 1971. Yeah, he'd been visiting his father in an attempt to repair their relationship. A quantity of thallium was found in his possession.
My bad. Why don't we have a cup of tea and talk this over?
Under interrogation, he admitted verbally to the poisonings, but refused to sign a written admission of guilt.
I don't blame him. That's crazy.
He clearly relished the notoriety that his day in court would afford him.
Hmm.
His trial started, and he was charged with 2 counts of murder.
Two counts of attempted murder.
And 2 counts of administering poison.
Murder.
Graham pleaded not guilty and seemed confident he would be acquitted, just like every some bitch that walks in a courtroom does.
Brandy, your thoughts on that?
He was innocent. He didn't do it.
It wasn't me.
If the glove doesn't fit.
Now, don't look at me.
If the teacup don't fit.
Don't look at me.
You know, everybody walks into a courtroom is like, I got this.
I'm done. I'm out. I'm acquitted.
Every single time I walked into a courtroom, I'm like, oh, I'm good. I don't even need the goddamn attorney. I don't know why I'm paying you.
How's that working out for you?
Guilty. Now, Graham was delighted at the media hype. He was a media whore. Mm-hmm. And he liked to be called the teacup poisoner.
But he probably would have been good with a Twitter.
Well, account. He didn't love teacup poisoner because he felt it was a little bit too
dainty,
parochial. And by that, devil, parochial means local.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a small area.
Limited,
yeah. He felt it was parochial. And it belittled his skill and knowledge. He thought world poisoner would be more appropriate.
Yeah, the world poisoner has a ring to it. But, Brandy, you got to admire his knowledge, if nothing else.
He's like Pinky in the Brain.
Graham had counted on the advances made in forensic sciences in the decades since the death of his stepmother.
He miscalculated.
However, he did not watch CSI, and the effect of reading the tracks of his diary, which he cold-bloodedly lists the effects of his poisons, would have on the jury. He was found guilty on all counts, just like every sumbitch goes into a prison. When asked whether he felt any remorse over his sadistic killings, nice prose there, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
It is said that he replied with a blues lyric. What I feel is the emptiness of my soul. Yeah, that's an old Howlin' Wolf lyric. What I feel is the emptiness of my soul.
That's what he said, Brandy.
That's what he said.
See how he brings the script to life? He doesn't just monotonely read it.
Yeah.
He brings it to life.
She just goes through the motions when she's here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Graham was incarcerated at the maximum security.
Fuck you both.
Parkhurst Prison on the Isle of
Man.
Spit it out there, Chief.
I'm pretty sure it's Isle of Wight, but it's Isle of White here. The home of Britain's most serious criminals.
Serious, Brandy.
Usually reserved for those with severe mental conditions.
You'll I think he's got a condition. Enough,
devil. Now, then he befriended Moore's murderer, Ian Brady.
Oh, who, him and Ian.
Who yeah. became infatuated.
Did they become BFF?
With the 24-year-old.
Of course, we did the Moore's murders, on, yeah.
Are they allowed to call each other their best friends? Are they allowed to be best friends? Because they outlawed that somewhere.
He didn't like Ian that well.
And it turns out Brady was kind of hot for Graham, but Graham was truly asexual.
Brady wanted the Graham cracker.
Wow.
He wanted to crack the Graham real good. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Brady described Graham as genuinely asexual.
What do you think about that, Brandy? What do you think about asexuality?
I believe Graham needed some sexual healing.
Not, man, but I don't know.
What do you think? What's your general thoughts about asexuals, Brandy?
I think that that's sad. I think they're missing out on a lovely part of life.
Perhaps they don't want to.
I think they
would have
made a good
them.
Couple because Ian
I don't
Brady,
judge them.
You're judging them. You're saying that they're living a less of a life than the rest of us.
I'm not judging them. I'm saying that they're missing out on a beautiful part of life.
So she's basically...
Yeah, what are you saying there? You saying that you live for sex? Is that what you're telling us, Devil?
No.
You kind of sound like you're pro-sex there.
I would like to apologize to any asexuals that we have listening.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of asexual listeners, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, Brandy.
Right.
I don't know why you besmirch the asexuals among us.
Well, anyway, so Ian Brady's there, but like I said, he wanted to crack Graham, but he couldn't do it. And Graham was excited only by power. And clinical experimentation, observation.
What's experimentation? Clarify that for me. What's experimentation?
It's when you do experimentation, but it's experimentation.
He's got a good point, Brandy. Yeah. You have to admit he has a point.
They spent a lot of time together playing chess and bonding over their fascination with Nazi Germany, and Jung
grew
himself
common.
A little Hitler sport.
See,
Hitler stash.
You don't... That hasn't come back since then.
It hasn't.
You know,
there's no coming back from the Hitler stash.
Yeah, you think it would get, you know, that would cycle through again, but
yeah,
that's just one of those that's not going to come back.
Yeah.
Now, he was thrilled with a waxwork of himself was added to Madame Tussaud's Chamber of Horrors.
Tussaud? Who the fuck is Tussaud? Yeah. Is that her lesser-known sister?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a cheap one.
Yeah.
That was so like, there's a wax Graham. Graham
you know,
wax.
You know Ripley's, believe it or not, uh-huh. and then they got Curly's. Might be, might not.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be or not.
Yeah.
But, and so, do we know really she was a madam? Do we really know that?
Well, he got put in there, Timmy, alongside
she was a lady.
His childhood hero, Dr. Crippen.
Dr. Crippen, Brandy, you're a good friend.
Mm.
Now, Jung died in his cell on August 1st.
Was he poisoned?
1990. At the age of 42, he died young.
Oh, he died young, Brandy.
So Billy Joel was wrong about that one because this douchebag died young.
Yeah, what did he die
of? He wasn't only the good. The official cause of death was heart failure.
Was he poisoned?
Although there remains conjecture that fellow inmates who, with the exception of Brady, were always wary of Young, may have poisoned his ass.
Yeah, that might have been a good move, Brandy.
Or that he grew tired of prison life and poisoned himself. One final gesture of control that he took, Timmy.
Now, I mean, you make a good point there.
But
mm-hmm.
there are repercussions, Devil.
There are repercussions.
There's a part deep to this.
Mm-hmm.
In November 2005, a 16-year-old Japanese schoolgirl was arrested for poisoning her mother with thallium. She claimed to be fascinated by Graham Young and, having seen a 1995 film about him, kept an online similar blog, and her mother remains in a coma.
What do you think about that, Brandy? He's got some sick followers.
Yes, he does.
All right, Brandy, your final thoughts on young Graham Young, the teacup poisoner.
I am fascinated.
What do you think about him? Was he a good person?
What?
Final thoughts.
No, he was not a good person.
Colonel, your final thoughts on Graham Young, the teacup poisoner, or as he preferred to be called, the world poisoner.
Seemed like a kind of a douche to me.
Douche.
All right.
Douche
we cow. Would like to thank you all for joining us. We would like to give a shout out to all of you who support us on Patreon. We appreciate it very much. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee tiny bit to me.
We also appreciate all of you who've left us reviews on iTunes. That's how other people find us. So please, if you haven't left us a review, please go and leave us a 5-star review telling us how much you enjoy me. Colonel, tell us about, give a shout out to our wonderful, wonderful Patreon supporters. Yes.
All right. Let me start here, Timmy. Let me get this paper out of the way. Take that, Devil. Write this down, Devil. All right. Let's see who we got here, Timmy.
Okay.
We got Ben Dobrovich.
Hiro. Hey, Ben.
James Seabright, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stafford, or Malachi.
You know, they're having a Austin meetup of the dweebs.
Are they?
I love that.
In June. I think June. Come to our Facebook page, History Dweebs, a podcast, and get, if you're in the Austin area, because they're having a cool meetup. I wish we could go, Brandy, but you won't let me. Go ahead, Colonel.
My very, very nice co-host, Shelley Garrett.
Yes, from Rants and Reasons.
From Rants and Reason and Oklahoma.
She owns you, dude.
She doesn't own me. I just be nice to her, Timmy. I try to make her look smart.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job.
Right. Go team.
Yeah. Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savoda, lovely Maggie Glover, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Maja, Tyrone, Amber Scoville, Marsha, Boris, Stace Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, good friends that They Walk Among Us.
Rosanna and Ben,
whose hair is not fire. I'm sure it's lovely and soft.
And they are also up for a British podcasting award, along with our friends from Slaughter. So good luck to them.
Lorna Violet, Mike Dale, Kelly Charette, Cam Widener, the lovely Callie Jones, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Pleasing Terrors, Mike Brown.
Yes, Pleasing Terrors and History Goes Bump. They're having a live show, I believe, in Louisville. Go to either their Facebook group and to learn more information. I think it's coming up in June, isn't it, Brandy?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. It'd be cool. I wish we could go to that, but Brandy won't let me.
Okay.
What the fuck? I'm not your mom.
Can I get through this?
I don't know. Can you?
Okay. And Hute, Reen, Ursula, Marissa Albany, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Now America History Podcast with Joe and Sean.
Catherine. Ursula is Lanik.
Okay.
Okay.
Catherine. Maybe she didn't want that reveal.
Cockeraj Richardson.
Catherine, you need a new nickname.
Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, History Goes Bump, Diane Student, Rants and Reason.
Yes, wonderful podcast.
Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith, Jeff and Dawn Chestnut, Backroads to History, and Poems by Jeff. My favorite, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strap.
Rachel Flynn from
Haunted Visions.
Haunted Visions, yes. Brandy's other podcast.
Used to be here.
Yep, now she's gone.
Now she's gone.
We miss you, Rachel.
Gone.
It's sad.
Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Kristen Malachinsky, Paula Kimes, Per Westerman, Amanda Christine. All right, Timmy. Heather Poole, Adam McWaters. The Vanish Podcast.
Yes, with our good friend Marissa.
Christy Lee at the True Canadian True Crime Podcast.
And, but she's Australian, but she does Canadian True Crime.
Yeah, I don't trust her. Insight, Insight, Charlie and Allie.
Yes, and Dominique did a guest spot on Insight. I haven't heard. Have you listened to it? I haven't listened to it yet, but I want to. Dominique from Death Store did a... she co-hosted Insight, so I'm going to check it out. It should be cool.
Joe Clifford.
Yes.
Mistress Veda.
You think she's a dominatrix?
I'm sure she is. Ron Monasterio, Tracy Smith, Jess, John V, Nene, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Christine Howell, Cheryl Weldon, Nicholas, Ryan, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Michelle Johns, Clark. Clark's still got snow in his front yard, Timmy.
And he must have like 3 weeks of summer up there. He's up in fucking Antarctica.
I know, he's up in the great
Arctic Circle,
great white north,
man.
Up there, man. I mean, there's always snow on the ground. He just
and you know Diane makes him shovels it too every day.
I
Fuck yeah. That snow won't shovel itself.
Clark and Diane Trowbridge are good friends. Beth Wallen, Andrew Scammell, Michaela Wallstrom, Aaron Fowler, Leanne Flanagan, a lovely Irish
with
girl.
With her lovely hair.
She has lovely hair. She does.
I want to stroke her hair.
Easy there, Junior. What the fuck you got going on there?
It's just very pretty hair.
Okay, she got pretty hair.
What the fuck, pervert?
It's not perverted about that.
You know what? I went through like 25 women on here that got pretty hair. I didn't make any
Didn't he sound like Hannibal Lecter when he said it, too?
Come
here, I want to stroke her hair.
Hello,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Hello, Leanne.
It's natural.
Yeah.
It's natural.
No, that's not
it. You can still hear him scream, can't you, Clarice? Who we got here? Now, we got a... Who put Hugh G. Rection onto my damn page?
That was you.
I'm a douche.
That was you.
Also you.
Penetration.
Yes.
And Mayannis. So anyway.
All you.
Okay, I might add them to the list. The Comeback Podcast, of course.
Yeah, Nicholas West.
Nicholas West and Rudy, the world's most dangerous canine.
Woody the Wonder Dog. Woody the Wonder Dog.
Lovely.
And if Renee ever tells you he went to live on a farm.
No, Renee be telling Rudy that I went to live on a farm.
It's more accurate, yeah.
Lady Beverly, of course, and the woman we do this show for week after week, at least me and you do, week after week after week after week, the wonderful Dottie Scott.
Yes, and Noah, who is having a birthday.
And Noah's who is having a birthday.
It's coming up. It's
Noah,
coming up.
I'm going to get you a real bow and arrow, not that candy-ass spongy shit your mama gives you.
I'm
going to
give you some heroin, man.
What the fuck?
Get this party started.
Starting with the Xanax.
First
right?
of all, you have to hand-deliver that.
Yeah.
So
that's it. That's
to make sure it gets there, yeah. All right, Brandy, your final thoughts, because we won't see you for another six or eight weeks.
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
When are you going on vacation?
June or July.
All right. Well, I'm going in May, so I know that there will not be
excited.
There will not be a podcast, I'm sure, while I'm
Chuck,
away.
Tell him.
What?
Tell him he's saying there's not going to be a podcast while he's gone.
Oh, there's going to be podcasts. Oh, there will be podcasts. There will be podcasts.
It'll be a good one. It'll be like that running swiftly shit.
No, because what'll happen is it will be amazing, and then we won't need you. And so you can trot all over Europe.
Well, you got the computer.
Thank you. Yeah, I got the computer.
Oh, I got a computer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but no, yeah. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.